In a world where identities are swallowed by corporations yearning for your hard-earned money, and the human experience gets further reduced into sellable ad space for the same greedy mongoloids that never had a childhood themselves, few public spaces remain truly untouched, as is the case with the Joe Van Secret Podcast. Hey everybody, this is another episode of Season 2, Joe Van Secret Podcast. I have a new guest with me today. New guest, please say hello.
Hello. How are you?
So, without revealing your identity, because the whole concept of the secret podcast is that my guests are just anonymous, but I feel like I can say that you're a relative of mine, however far removed, but we are in relation with each other, and also you have an accent, because English is not your first language.
Yeah.
So, true. Maybe we could start with that. What is your first language?
My first language is Dutch.
It's Dutch, it's yeah.
French, and then English.
Yeah. Oh, so it's the third
down
the line. Nice, nice. But you still speak it really well, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you have an accent, but so does my grandma, and she's been speaking English for however many years now.
60 years,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just jump right into the interview, if you're ready. So I'll start with the first question, how was your day today?
It's early in the morning, so...
The day's not done yet, that's true.
It's just begun.
Yeah.
But the sun shines, so...
It's a good day.
Being a very good day.
Yeah, very good. Very good answer. Then what was the next question there?
Everything happened for a reason.
Yeah, so this one's very philosophical. Do you believe that life is only a coincidence or that everything happens for a given reason?
For me, it's not a coincidence. Everything happened for a reason, but I don't know which always. But it felt so it's for a reason.
Yeah.
I can't tell which reason.
The reason is a mystery.
Yes.
But
there's a reason.
You can feel the purpose behind every action.
Yeah,
that's good. So the next one, what do you consider to be beautiful?
So I came to Canada and the nature is so beautiful here.
So, something we pride ourselves in.
I wonder, the nature is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I play cello, I listen sometimes to music, and it's so very beautiful.
Yeah. Sorry, who did you say? Did you listen to anyone in particular? Because I remember when I was in your car back in 2015, you had that one CD. Who was that again?
Mumford & Sons, I think, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah, Mumford & Sons. It was the lady, though, that you had, where she speaks Spanish?
Shakira.
Yeah, Shakira, that's it, yeah. Shakira, she's a great singer.
Yeah.
It's good music.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question, and this one could be controversial, depending on your answer, but those are only the best answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Politics. What is your opinion on politics, and how does it play a role in your life?
For me, good politics is politics to have boundaries.
Balance, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the boundaries, you have space to think creative, to innovation, and, and a constructive dialogue. Positive dialogue.
Yeah. What do they call that? A conversation in good faith.
Yeah.
Which is that you're not trying to attack the person.
No.
Your motive is
to you,
just
and you listen to me, and we think together about the things.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very mature answer. That's good. So the next question, which is more of a fun question, have you met anyone famous? And a secondary question to that is, who would you love to meet? Who's famous?
Who's famous? My wife is famous.
Your wife is famous, yeah.
Yeah.
How is she famous?
My
for
kids,
those that don't
my
know?
Grandchildren. She's good for many persons, my wife.
Oh, yeah.
She do a lot of things for other people, and I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. It's very wholesome. Yeah, and then your kids too, yeah.
Yeah, and the grandchildren.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, of course. Now, so what do you think of the word famous when I say famous?
Famous, beautiful, beautiful
okay,
people,
yeah,
famous,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay, that's great,
yeah. That's the meaning of famous for me.
Yeah, that's cool. So when I put the question in there, famous traditionally in North America is used to describe like actors or like millionaires,
those kind
of thing.
Yeah.
But I love your answer more than that. But yeah, normally when
that's
I say, have you met anyone famous? Except for your wife, then.
Yeah,
is great, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great answer. So the next one, which one's that there?
Stole some.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever stolen anything in your life that you
can't remember? I steal something.
Yeah, but you think maybe, or
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Not in your adult life.
I never stole someone something.
Yeah,
but I can't steal because I'm not good then. It felt not good.
Yeah, the guilt. Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah, because you're just a good person. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unless maybe you stole your wife's heart.
Well, that's a good.
Maybe. Yeah. You stole her heart away.
Yeah. But she wanted back. She don't want it back.
She doesn't want it back. It's yours.
And keep it.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. And the next question. Oh yeah. So, would you rather live in the past or in the future, and why?
I prefer to live in the now.
Yeah. Which very few people actually do. They might say they want to, but yeah.
That's living the beautiful time, because in the past I don't know, I can't change it. Past. Yeah. And in the future, there is not still a future. So,
there's no future yet.
There is no future yet. So yeah. Now is the
best time to be.
Where you must live in.
Yeah. Where you must and you choose to.
Yeah.
Now, if we go past our own lives, is there like a decade that you really like that you might be interested in like visiting as a time traveler? Like, would you want to, like, go to the 1800s or
no.
go to the 1960s or something?
No.
Is there not, like, the music renaissance? Nothing like that? Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have wanted to meet, like, Beethoven or...
No.
Nothing like that? No. It's not curious enough. True.
No, I'm not curious enough.
Yeah, that's okay. So, what is the next question we have here? Oh, yeah. So, this question, I think I've only asked one other person so far. Just because, like, going down the line, I maybe haven't reached there yet, but of the types of personalities, because there are 16 distinct personality types that are described in psychology textbooks. Mm-hmm. Which of the top personalities do you think best fits you?
I think people who are honest.
Yeah.
Empathy,
care for others.
Clear, say what they had to say. They don't...
Very direct.
Very direct.
You're like direct or frank people.
So you know what you get, and you know what you can answer, you know what you can do.
Yeah. So you like that in people. Do you think that also describes you as well? Do you think you're a frank person who's honest? No,
I don't think I'm honest, but I think a lot before I give an answer.
Okay, yeah.
So, and it's not only clear and...
it might take some work around to get to it. Yeah, true. But yeah, that's what you admire in people. That's great. So next is the conversation about intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this one I'll read to everyone because it's a bit less than the personalities. But there are 9 types of intelligence. The types of intelligence are logical intelligence, spatial, musical, kinesthetic, naturalistic, linguistic, existential, intrapersonal, and interpersonal, which means outer.
And what's existential?
Existential is to be able to see the big picture.
Yeah.
Is to see like the whole thing, right? The universe, everything is existential.
That's the one.
That would describe you? Yeah. The types of intelligence?
Because
when
you see the whole picture, you... can't judge about things because
it's hard to complain.
Yeah,
when you look at everything,
you have to see the complexity of the world.
Yeah,
and then there's so much you can say. Oh no, that's right and that's wrong. No, there's not. That's right and that's wrong.
Yeah,
there's always a between.
Yeah.
And it's
it's very complicated.
People.
Yeah. And then what also did you write down there? The type of intelligence.
Emotional and that's the same of empathy.
Empathetic. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you'd be comfortable talking about it, you've been working with a certain company for a long time. Would you want to maybe talk a bit about that? Because it kind of lies in line with emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Because it's very necessary to understand the non-verbal language.
Yeah, body language.
Body language. So the eyes. They mimic, how do you say it?
Mouthing or just facial expressions.
Yeah, facial expressions. And that's also the emotional intelligence you feel when it's good, when it's not good. That has about feelings, not about
the particular analytical
regular, yeah.
thought pattern. Yeah, it's not as straightforward.
No.
Yeah.
You have to feel, to look at people, to
interpret
your own body.
Yeah, yeah. Interpret rather than just being told. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you never know what they say. That's so, they're not so clear in the language.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so very difficult sometimes when our example, when they are sick, you don't see it immediately that they are sick.
Yeah, it could fester for 2 weeks before
and
you
they
see
don't tell it also, but sometimes they can't speak.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very difficult to understand their language.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And for the audience that doesn't know, would you be able to describe what you do? Or
oh, I work a lot with people with the mentally handicapped.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the, I worked there 34 years. With
34 years, 34 yeah.
Years,
and I keep forgetting, but yeah, how are you, you're in your 50s now? Are you 51?
I'm 55.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know why I keep
almost
thinking.
Almost 56.
It keeps blowing my mind. I keep thinking you're like 49 or something, like you're right at that cusp, but yeah, yeah. So yeah, you've been working there a long time.
One. An old one.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's great. I mean, it's you look good. I like the hair.
Yeah.
Especially because I know, yeah, when I get older, it's my rate of beard growth is so slow, right? Which is, it's one of those things that, like, when you're a teenager, it's like, oh, you can't grow a beard. It's like this maturity contest. But yeah, I feel like by the time I can grow a beard, it'll be when it's white. Like, that's how long it'll take.
Yeah.
Like, I want to...
You have to wait till you are 55.
Until I actually... Yeah, it actually grows in.
Yeah,
yeah, and until then, it's just on the chin. Yeah, it's terrible. Boy. But, yeah, those were great answers to the questions. Now, if it's okay with you, can I ask you some hypothetical questions?
Yeah.
So these
I
ones...
try to answer?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't have to, or if there's no good answer. But I got some fun ones here. one of them being... So this one you might have seen before, but if you had to erase one of the major sports, which would you choose? So there's five major sports in the world, right?
Soccer.
You would get rid of soccer?
Yeah.
Oh no, that was such a quick answer. Basketball, baseball, American
football.
This week
football. I went to Lynn and I saw soccer, Club Brugge,
from
Belgium.
Yeah.
I saw the game with Uncle Lucien.
Yeah, and what you thought, ah, that's terrible.
No, that's not terrible, it's beautiful.
It's good. Okay,
yeah, it's good.
The question is if you had to erase one.
Oh,
if you had to get rid of one sport.
No,
don't erase it. You like that one.
Boxing.
You would erase boxing?
Yeah.
Or any fighting sport?
No. Fighting sport.
Yeah. If it had to be between American football, European football, basketball, baseball, or hockey... Do you think just like the most violent one, probably like hockey? They fight a lot, so it's like of those
it's
five.
Hard, eh?
Oh, we got a phone going off.
Oh, it's been answered. Okay, perfect.
But of those five sports,
well, all the sports are rough.
Yeah, yeah.
Also soccer.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But like, if you had to get rid of one of those, what do you think? It's kind of hard because you don't watch hockey.
Football is also hard. Yeah.
American football, yeah.
American football.
Concussions are rampant. Yeah, it's very dangerous to play that sport. Yeah. But yeah, fair enough.
And I saw a movie, and I think many people who plays football and once in life they have brain damage.
Yeah, yeah, concussions.
Yeah.
Cause permanent damage.
They always go.
They have to head first, tackle each other. Yeah. And it makes me wonder about rugby. Do you watch rugby more?
No.
In Europe, no.
Too rough.
But yeah, it's they don't
so
wear
popular.
Anything. They've barely any protection, and it's so much more rough. Like they really just go at it. I'm surprised like people don't die doing that. It's it's crazy.
Strong people. Eh?
It takes
rugby.
The strongest of the strong to do it, right? Yeah.
The Australian with the
that's true. Actually, yeah, it'd be more Australian kind of sport, like South Africa, Australia. Mm-hmm. I think those countries do it more. So another question I have for you, and this one's in the opinion section as well, so you don't have to answer this one if you don't, but what's your opinion on social media, because I know that you yourself don't have any.
Yeah, no, I don't have some, but it's good, but you have to use it at the right wrong at the just
enough. just yeah, not too much.
Put it that the good way.
Not yeah, wrong. Yeah. Don't use it to harass people.
You don't have to listen to the social media and to make your ideas, but because you have more than the social media to have a good idea.
Yeah.
To make a good idea.
Yeah. Because
it's sometimes it's very one way.
Yeah, it's very one-sided.
Yeah,
one-sided. It creates bubbles.
Yeah.
Where if you listen to one opinion, then the social media gives you more people who only have that one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up not even being able to see the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the same answer before. You must see the whole picture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
people need to be able
not
to...
Not only what they tell and what they...
One particular
it sounds
view.
Good, but it sounds good, such a thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's a good answer. What is your opinion on animal rights? Or the concept of maybe waning back on how we treat animals currently?
Well, I think for everything you must have a good... lines what you can do and not can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes there are too many too
exceptions or
too less reglements for
it's true. Especially when you think of how far we've come as a society, all of humanity or the first world at least, is that we try to become more civilized as we go on. Because sure, before, we didn't have the same technology we have now. So to run engines, we would literally have horses like go in circles to like run a machine, right? To get the cogs turning.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we kind of came up with like steam-powered engines and then it started to destroy the earth. So then we came up with solar energy and all that kind of stuff.
I think the problem is we take too much. So I saw a movie and there were Indians and they have one buffalo need to feed the whole group.
Yeah.
So we are 10, 50 buffalos. We have to so much need.
And waste so much. Grab like
and
a little bit of what we want.
Good.
Yeah.
Waste too much.
Yeah. It's one of the downsides of Western philosophy. Because you know how different cultures have different beliefs, of course. And one of the reasons why Spain, France, and England decided to spread themselves across the world is because they had this belief that they deserved it. Like, they deserved to dominate the world because God gave them the world, right? So it's a very confused idea, and they went around slaughtering Native Americans and doing all kinds of terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And then now we're just living in the aftershock of it, right?
Yeah.
So, a lot of regulation, a lot of tradition, I feel like, is just us living in the past, and it sort of takes a few generations to learn a new way of living. So
but mostly the difficulty is everybody has need a place. And
yeah, it's true.
That's true, but some people have many places, and the other people have small places. So that's not correct.
Yeah, the imbalance, I guess, of the wage.
Yeah, everybody had need to sort... Even with to say that,
or at least a level above being homeless.
Well,
not so radically
different from each other.
Because I know in India that's a big problem is the wage difference. There's no middle class.
Mm-hmm.
It's just extremely rich and extremely poor, and that's starting to happen now in America and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The middle class is slowly fizzing
away. I think it's
away.
Also in Europe.
It's happening in Europe too.
Yeah. I think the whole world is now.
It's starting to break apart, like,
because
before capitalism worked, everybody, as soon as you finish high school, you go and get a job and buy a house and have kids at the age of like 25.
Mm-hmm.
But then now nobody can do that, and we're starting to fall backwards. Like, you need to live with your parents for a long time, you know. Or maybe I'm just being lazy and using that as an excuse, but I'm part of a statistic of people my age that still need to live at home because they can't afford moving out.
They can't afford an old house.
So it's the times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice if there was a way to change that, right? Yeah. Where there wasn't such an imbalance because it's like a monopoly. It's what happens when capitalism goes too far is the bigger companies start... It's like fish in an aquarium, and the bigger fish start eating the smaller fish, and it makes it bigger.
Mm.
So the bigger it gets, it just keeps eating until there's no other fish left, and it's just the one fish. And it's the only option you have.
Struggle of life,
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's better when there's an equilibrium, but yeah, right now it's not working because it's like,
but
it, one side keeps growing.
We don't have ethic, values and values and values. We had not much values to create such a world for who there's a place for everyone.
That's the philosophy of like communism or socialism is that it's supposed to be for the community, but then it never works because whoever's in power just completely abuses it and then everyone suffers, right? That's what happened in Russia. Millions of people died because like the system doesn't work when people are in charge. So I feel like the future is going to be no more people in politics, just robots. Because you can't corrupt a robot, you know? You can't give them money.
But you can't erase the people also. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think
we got to vote.
There's a world now that cry for more love.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the solution.
Yeah, it takes...
We must care for each other. We must care for everybody.
Yeah. And
rich and poor, everybody together.
And it takes action. And it takes a lot to get people to act. Because a lot of people might feel that way, but then not act on it.
Yeah.
Because, they feel like
they're sitting in the seats and they watch TV and they...
And they're too scared to get out there and
get out
actually
and
do something. Yeah. So maybe talking about it on here is a good way to spread that message.
Yeah, I think
that might help inspire some people, whoever's listening.
I look forward to hear this.
Yeah, to find out what kind of a response I get.
Yeah,
because I can email you or send you the link of it if you want.
Thank you.
Of course. So we got a few more questions here, if you don't mind. I can think of some good ones. I'll skip that one there. So, what's a good one? What is your opinion on space travel and the idea of space travel?
Sometimes I think it's not necessary to spend so much money on these things.
Yeah.
While so many people have every day die of hunger.
Yeah.
So we learn much about science.
Through looking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a wonderful. You can ride with a car and you have the GPS.
It's because of satellites in space. It's
great.
And it's weird how it's motivated, because a lot of scientific advancements happen because of war, usually. It's weird because it's like all the money and resources in countries go to war, so it's like in World War II, you know, we figured out how to make planes like super like work really well, like we honed in on the technology of making them accessible. And submarine technology and MRI scans. It was originally going to be tried to use as a weapon, and then we realized that it can help detect things in the human body.
But everything you can use it for good things
and bad things.
So you can knife to use to cut your
carrots, or you can use it to stab someone.
Make the mail with
oh
knife,
yeah, yeah, it's true.
But you can also kill someone with the knife.
It's just the tool. The knife is innocent. It's the person It's interesting how it works, because it's the same thing you could say about the internet. The internet's a tool. It can be used for good stuff, getting families across the world to connect. But then it can also be used for
bad.
Also
for religion, you can do very good things when you believe, but sometimes some people believe and they do bad things.
Yeah.
With the same religion.
It's the exact same words. They'll interpret it completely differently.
And they do bad things. And the other one with the same words, with the same religion, they do very good things.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts how it works. That's an interesting thing, right? Is interpretation. It's weird how it's like, because some people. Yeah, it's just interesting, right? Because like some people are more superstitious than other people, and that dictates how they interpret certain things. And then for other people, they're not superstitious, but they'll still interpret something like a scripture very literally rather than, more metaphorically. So it's.
But I think you must listen to your heart. When it's according with your heart, it's good. But it's not.
When it makes you feel like something's wrong, then you shouldn't go that way. Yeah, Yeah, that's the thing to keep in mind, to remember everyone, especially when the world seems so out of place and bad, is that most people are good, right? They just get confused, or they get worked up, or, you know, people are mean to them, so they repeat the cycle. But, you know...
We have more to learn to our heart, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, emotional intelligence to our heart, as well. Yeah, and especially with work and stuff, caretakers get paid such low wages compared to other people that you know, it's a very simple job. Like, if you work in construction and you just have to hold a stop sign or whatever, and that person gets paid, you know, $25 an hour. Not that they shouldn't, but when you look at the comparison of the different types, like how much more effort goes into taking care of someone who's weak or sick or has a disability that they need the care, so much more work goes into it, and they get paid almost nothing. It's insane that it isn't looked at as important as construction or something.
Because it's not economical?
It doesn't bring more money. Yeah, true. But they're human beings. Yeah, that should be more important than profit. Humans.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. Well, what's it like in Belgium? I think I can reveal the country.
It's the same.
Oh, it's the same thing as Canada or America?
We don't pay much who works in care.
Yeah, it's still low wage.
It's still...
There has to be some countries, though. Would it be like Switzerland or Sweden or Denmark or something where they're better with that? Because I remember there's something. There are certain countries in Europe where it's like taxes is like 50% of your income, but it goes towards public care. So it's like... And everything costs so little, so it's like... It works
so
its way.
So it's different with America and Canada. In Canada, you have a system. When you are sick, you can have free
healthcare
for you.
Very
good healthcare.
And in America, it's like if you call an ambulance, you have to pay for that. Yeah. Even if you were shot and you're bleeding, it's like you have to pay $100
That's
for
the problem. And in Canada, it's very better organized.
Yeah. It's not still not perfect. Still got a lot more work to do. But it's
still
at least
better.
Yeah. It's like a combination of capitalism and socialism, right? So it's like, if you merge the two, it ends up as a far better system.
You had to find the middle.
Yeah, find the balance, find the sweet spot, the cherry.
The balance of
both things. That's what they say about planets, too, to bring it back to the space travel topic. But, so the Earth is in the Goldilocks zone, is what they call it. It's not too close to the sun that it would burn up the atmosphere. It's not too far away where it would get too cold and then dissipate the atmosphere. And obviously for a long time, you know, the human society, we thought that that makes us super special and that the Earth is super unique, right? And it's like, of course we should think that. Every other planet around us is just dead. Or like maybe Venus has an atmosphere, but it's like poisonous. So it's like all the other planets you can't possibly live on. So we are super unique in the nine planets that surround us. But since like 2010, like we've been looking for exoplanets intentionally. Like NASA has like made special satellites that just look for planets like around other star systems, and almost every single star system has a planet where there's a Goldilocks zone in the star. It's like every single one that's around us.
It's amazing.
It's weird. Yeah, it's almost eerie because it's like they're so far away that we can never reach them. The closest star to us, Alpha Centauri, if you know this or not, is like, I think, 10,000 years away. If we were to travel at like the speed of sound, it's like as fast as a spacecraft can go, it would take us 10,000 years to get there. It's the closest star to us.
It's a wonder. It's a miracle. Right?
It's weird. It's nuts. And then it makes you think all these other planets could have other life forms that look similar to us. And they're all alone looking out into space, you know? Wondering if there's other stuff out there, and maybe they got telescopes, but they're like, it's too far away, we can never make it. It's nuts. It's nuts.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's ripe for imagination, science fiction, you know, especially with space travel. Yeah, like one idea I have, and I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, is like a new theory out there, is, you know how other animals are intelligent, but like maybe not as intelligent or can't communicate that intelligence, like elephants, dolphins, chimpanzees. It's like, the only thing that I feel like is stopping them from being as intelligent as us is physical limitations. Like with chimpanzees, their larynx is too low in their throat. So they physically can't make sounds the way we can. They can only grunt. They can't go like ti-ti-ti-ta-ta-ta-to. Like they can't like make words because their larynx is too low. So they can only go oh. But they can still speak to us using sign language. Except, you know, we find out that their intelligence is like it can only get as high as like a 7-year-old or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like they can't be as smart as us. But like dolphins, they use echolocation the same way that we would maybe come up with language if we had those limitations. So it makes you think, on other planets, does it have something to do with our physical bodies that help us be so intelligent? Like, this is the theory that I have, and this is kind of a wild one, but it's like, so imagine, like, you have a life form, you can start with, like, a blob or something, and so it's like, given the right environment, where it's, like, not too hot, not too cold, that kind of thing, and there's water, because we just assume water is the basis for all life, it starts to develop a brain, because it's a multicellular organism, and then it gets legs, doesn't have to be legs, it could be, like, squid tentacles or something, but it has a way to move. And it goes around eating, whether it's just vegetables or it's also meat, that kind of thing. And it keeps developing and evolving through all these generations. Does it have something to do with being bipedal that, like, the way that gravity, like, the blood in our brain sits, it allows for the shape of the skull to give us that frontal lobe, which is, like, our consciousness, like, our personality is in the front, and then the rest of the brain is, like, the subconscious. Because every animal has a similar shaped brain, where it looks like this, the same as ours, where the back is round, but then when it gets to the front, it, like, narrows down.
Yeah.
And you can see that, like, with chimpanzees, the front of their, like, their forehead just goes, like, straight down. But ours is, like, loped like this. And so I feel like that is what makes us self-aware, where we look in a mirror and we know it's us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what if that has something to do with it? So it's like aliens wouldn't look too different than us. It's like every intelligent alien, maybe, if we go to planets, they would still, like, look weird and not, like, human at all, but they might be bipedal. So, like, they look humanoid because standing up on two legs rather than being on all fours allows the brain to take that shape. Because, you know, chimpanzees, even though they can stand on two legs, they don't do it all the time. It's like they're still kind of on all fours.
Yeah,
So I feel like maybe physically that has something to do with it. Because dolphins are apparently, their brains are the same size as us. Like, they can have, they can be as smart as us. They just don't have a way to actually be able to communicate with each other, other than clicks. So, yeah. And that's because they're in water, that kind of thing. So it's like if dolphins happen to eventually, in a million years, find their way onto land, they could be as smart or even smarter. Yeah.
Who knows?
That's my idea, is that the physical brain shaping and being, like, standing up so that the brain is, like, facing this way instead of, like, being down. That has something to do with it. Yeah.
It's possible.
But who knows, right? Yeah. Anything's possible. As long as you don't know it so far, it's possible.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. That's like with Star Trek. Did you ever watch Star Trek as a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, yeah.
You did? Yeah. Yeah, they had automatic doors.
Yeah.
They had things in their hands. Yeah. All of that's
they
a reality.
They call to each other and they see each other and they say that. That's the future, and now it's the future.
And it literally, all of it's true. Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. Makes you think.
But what they don't have, sometimes they can take a place and they go all in little pieces.
Yeah,
and they come
dematerialize.
Yeah, and they come in another place, and then they are again.
They just teleport, and they're there. Yeah, they go beam me up, Scotty.
It's not. That's not the.
That's not there
that's
yet.
Before, not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Who knows? Still possible since it hasn't happened yet.
Who knows? But I don't think so.
Yeah. There is one thing, though. Light beams. I don't know if that was in Star Trek or just Star Wars, but it's like if there's two spaceships in space, and then one of them has a light beam, where it's like a beam of light goes down, and then it, like, sucks the other spaceship up to them. Apparently that is kind of possible, but it's like it needs to be in something like zero gravity, so that would never work here, if you just, like, have a flashlight and you just go like that at something. But apparently, because light is photons, and you know how, like heat can expand objects and shrink them? Apparently that would be a way to do it, where if you concentrate a beam of light, because it produces temperature and heat, right? It's the difference between matter and energy, and then you start, like, retracting, like, making things colder, and it would pull the photons, and then it would actually move a physical object. But it's very theoretical. But they're saying, yeah, if teleportation's never possible, light beams might be, where you can move something using energy instead of, like, a physical thing pulling in. Yeah. But anyway, it's all, you know, food for thought. It's all stuff that you know, let your brain chew on.
For the future. 100 years,
yeah, exactly. For your grandkids and great-grandkids to go through. Yeah. Well, hey, Rick, thanks for talking with me. Wait, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned
Very good.
Name.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. But, yeah.
I'm looking forward to see and to listen.
Yeah, and see what it all sounds like in HD audio.
Yeah.
It's a lot more different than my grandparents, unfortunately.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, of course, I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
And maybe I could have you back on this thing in a few years. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. But either way, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. You're always welcome in Belgium, so.
Great. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Because I should come back. It has been a while, hasn't it?
You must come back.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, adios to the audience.
With your girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah. I could bring her, too. Yeah. I'm sure she wouldn't be opposed to it.
It would be a nice trip.
It would be, yeah.
Trip, yeah.
And it's not super expensive, either. It costs just as much to go to France as it does to BC.
Yeah, yeah.
Same country, so, yeah.
It's near Belgium.
Yeah. But yeah, either way. Adios, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.